Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the Torino Film Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi, and I'm really, really glad to be connected with Reswan Shahriar Shumit, the director of The Salt in Our Waters. Good afternoon, Shumit. How are you?
Good afternoon, Angelo. I'm doing well, and thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
Well, I wanted to talk to you for one professional reason, in terms of being one of the movies that came out from the Torino Film Lab program, one of the Torino Film Lab programs, but also because your movie is really fascinating in terms of poetry that it brings out. And so I wanted to talk to you about how did you build up this story in this way, so poetic and so touching, even if it's a really simple story at the end, because it's the I just tell a little bit for our audience is in the story of this artist that brings his artistry is a sculpture. His sculptures on a very small island, and he has to face first the fascination to his work, and then the kind of fight against because of superstitions and beliefs and religions and et cetera, So my first question after this very long intro is, how did you come up with this story for the film? What was it makes you click to tell us the story?
Yeah, so we'll have to go all the way back to 2008 when I first went to this region, and this was 3 or 4 months after a devastating cyclone which had hit the southern coastal belt of Bangladesh. And I had gone there as a tourist initially with some of my friends. I was an undergrad student studying in a business school. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was summer vacation. So I went there as a tourist. But by that time, I had developed the habit of taking photographs. So I had my DSLR camera on me, and I started stepping out of the tourist bubble and slowly discovered these tiny clusters of fishermen and their families who live along the coastline. And I had obviously heard about the cyclone and read about the devastations, but I could see some of the the residue of the of the storm. For example, trees were fallen on the banks. There was a high level of salinity in the water. But the fishermen, they are very resilient. They within 3 or 4 months, I saw that they had turned things around. They were going back to the ocean on their tiny dinghy boats. And that one image of a fisherman crossing the three waves to enter the ocean, and the third wave being the biggest one and pretty scary because it puts the boat almost 90 degree upward, that image stuck with me. So I started talking with them. So that those conversations inspired me, and that particular image of a boat entering the ocean by crossing three dangerous waves stuck with me. And when I was in film school in 2012, 13, 14, 15 in New York University, I was supposed to write a feature script, and my mind instantly transported me back to these characters, because not only the location was very cinematic, but also these characters were pretty larger than life. And what I wanted to show the world through this film is that even though a lot of the decisions in their lives are driven by these natural calamities, but these calamities happen once in a while, but they also have dreams and hopes and colors in their lives.
Yeah.
And how is life like when there is peace in their life. That was very important for me to show. So that's why most of the film takes place during peaceful times, you know, until the big storm comes and shakes things up. But even though nature is peaceful, climate change also has its other effects, right? Because climate change and when nature starts to behave strangely, not only through storms, but, you know, vanishing fishes, rising water level, superstitions start to grow.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the other effect of climate change that I also wanted to explore. That happens that slowly creeps in during peaceful times. So that was very important that we show both sides of climate change and also how cultural clashes slowly, you know.
Yeah, it's like in a society. It's like if they need to find a reason, a physical, a present reason, or somebody to blame for what is happening, because when nature explodes and creates problems to them, they need to find a reason why, not just because it happened. So
yeah,
and the character
also. You will also notice that there is a group called Chairman and his gang in the film,
mm-hmm.
and they are the ones who sow the seed of division in the society. Sometimes because of their religious beliefs, their ideological leanings, but also sometimes just because they want to protect the status quo, protect their businesses. And the fishermen are kind of in the middle. In my opinion, I mean, they are kind of the innocent center in the story. The chairman and his goons are on one side, and the artist is on the opposite side of the spectrum. And these fishermen, they go from left to right, right.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Left
they are in the film. They are the simple ones who can be manipulated by whomever has the strongest voice or the strongest opinions. They don't know. One thing that really struck me was the concept and the perception of art that was different in different people. So it's like the artist sculptures were at first considered like a wonderful thing, a strange, a fascinating thing. And then all of a sudden they became the idols, so they meant bad for the community. There was not nearly ever the sensation of the real understanding of what art is. I don't know if it was only me seeing this. Maybe I was looking too much into the film, but do you think that the simplicity of the fisherman's life and way of living prevented them to understand art, or to understand what art was, what this specific kind of art was, and what was the purpose of it?
Yeah, I would add that tiny thing that you added, this specific kind of art, because if you notice that their kids, while they're in their leisure, they also make very interesting, you know, Antonio Gaudi-like structures on the beach, right? Before even Rudro, the artist, enters their lives.
Mm, yeah.
And Rudro is fascinated by that the kids practice this. Even the villagers, the way they build the mosque, it's the shape of a boat turned upside down.
Yeah.
So these are tiny hints that they also have art in their life. The saris in the monsoon gray palette.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful, colorful saris blowing in the wind. That's a beautiful image. And those are not elements that Rudro, my artist, brought with him. These were already present in their lives. However, figurative art has been and still is sort of in a gray zone in our religion. There are some groups of people who are still not willing to accept it. But in general, Bangladesh is not like that. Mm-hmm. Bangladesh I grew up in was not like that. Bangladesh was more understanding, more progressive, and more welcoming to both artists and Sufis and spiritual practitioners of the religion.
No,
but
of course.
I guess with the onset of globalization, we also see lots of other cultures creeping in, more stringent, conservative interpretation of the religion creeping in, and that is leading to a lot of division in the society, and also certain religious groups are becoming more stronger and coming to the mainstream.
Shumit, yeah. Listen, I wanted to end this our conversation asking you something about your experience with the Torino Film Lab. How did you enter the Torino Film Lab, your project, and what happened once you got in?
Yeah, so the Torino Film Lab has been playing an instrumental role in this very interesting juncture of my career as I am transitioning from my first feature to my second feature. My first touch point at Torino was the Torino Film Lab's audience design workshop. We won the fund, of course, the audience design fund, so we got invited to the workshop. The workshop was absolutely fascinating. For 7 days we analyzed our film, our characters, our story, and found out what are the selling points of this film and how to reach out to the audience with these selling points. So it was really, really awesome to find out about this. And then the meeting event happened last week or this week during the Torino co-production market. And that's where we also got to pitch. So all of these exposures helped the film find sales agent, distributor, and also, most importantly, we are playing at the Torino Film Festival, right? So that is, like, for a first-time filmmaker, that is really absolutely a big honor.
Yeah. It's a good start, you know? It's a very good start.
We actually world premiere at BFI London, though. So we world premiere at BFI London, then had our Asian premiere at Busan. So Torino is our third screening. But this is our Italian premiere, and we're getting a lot of attention. So this is all absolutely helping us keeping our momentum going. And with the Torino Film Lab's Audience Design Fund helping us, we will be able to hopefully distribute this film in 2021 in Bangladesh, France, USA, UK. And let's see, hopefully we can be back in Italy next year. Fingers crossed.
Well, we hope so. I hope so. And I'm going to root for you for this to happen. So thank you very much to Rezwan Sharia Shumit, the director of the Salt in Our Waters, film that was presented at the Torino Film Festival Hall of Competition, and which was a Torino Film Lab film. Thanks very much for having been with us, and good luck for your next project, and probably, hopefully, we're going to talk again on Fred Film Radio with you for your next film. Who knows?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Angelo. Has been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.